Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Edwards of Surrey, Virginia. The Edwards family has joined Heritage Foods USA and Newman Berkshire Farm to develop an all-natural product line featuring Serrano hams, Berkshire smoked slice and slab bacon, Berkshire smoked sausage links. These new products are produced exclusively from purebred six-spotted Berkshire pigs raised completely outdoors on independent family farms. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. For more information about S. Wallace Edwards and Son, visit www.edwardssvaham.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thoughts to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Passover and Easter traditions, Jamie Oliver's food revolution, and the Hot Five. All the Twitter buzz on Friday night was mainly Jamie Oliver's food revolution. The show was a top trending topic on Twitter, and Mr. Oliver and Ryan Seacrest, I don't know if some people know, but Ryan Seacrest, American Idol judge, and what else? He's a host of like Dick Clark. I call him the next Dick Clark. He's the executive producer of Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. They made appearances on Oprah on Friday. They were on Larry King Live, Wendy Williams. I was just surprised to see all the media buzz, surprised and excited to see all the media buzz around the show. We have an audio clip for some of our listeners who have not seen the commercial or seen the show, audio preview clip all about Jamie Oliver's food revolution.
50,000, home of Marshall University, and recently named the unhealthiest city in America. In a place where nearly half the adults are considered obese, and incidence of diabetes and heart disease lead the nation, one man is coming to lead a food revolution.
This is about life and death.
Jamie Oliver, renowned British chef who transformed the British school food program.
Everyone can do better.
Has come to our shores to take on the biggest mission of his life, to save an entire American city.
I'm here to inspire and show America that just a little effort can make a massive difference.
But in this town, the revolution will meet resistance.
What are you here for?
The results came out that this town was the most unhealthy town in America. This is a government statistic based on death.
We don't want to sit around and eat lettuce all day.
I don't think Jamie's got anything that can change this town. He can try all he wants. I don't think he's got it.
I thought there was only miserable bastards like that in England. How's your pizza for breakfast? In all of my years, I've never seen pizza given for breakfast in any country. Who knows what this is?
Potatoes.
So you think these are potatoes? This is the future of America.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? What's right with that? Would you eat that?
Yes, yes, I think it's good.
I'm talking about causing a big fuss. I'm changing things. Change.
Yeah, okay.
They don't understand me because they don't know why I'm here.
In a city with a growing epidemic.
I've tried every diet. I've tried going to the gym. I just can't get the motivation.
This is going to kill your children.
With the coloration of the neck, the family history of diabetes, you may be dying in your 30s.
One man will try to save 50,000 lives.
If you think that's not important, then shame on you. The fat consumed by the entire school for 1 year. This is the first generation of kids expected to live a shorter life than their parents. Will you support me?
I'm talking about a seed of change. I'm talking about schools. I'm talking about fast food industry.
I'm here to start a revolution.
The biggest food revolution this country's ever seen.
Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. Series premiere Friday, March 26, 9, 8 Central on ABC.
You were just listening to the audio preview clip of Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution that debuted last Friday on ABC. If we have any listeners, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes just talking about some of the comments, positive and negative comments about the show. Feel free to call. We have a live call-in number. Our number is 718 497-2128. I think there were 7.5 million viewers, and actually the show was the number one Friday primetime show. So that's really, really good. So I actually went to my favorite source for food Twitter news online. It's GastroBuzz, GastroBuzz.com. Shout out to Josh Friedland, the creator of the aggregated food tweets from around the world, GastroBuzz.com. And I looked to find out the most retweeted food links of the day or of the week. And according to his website, out of the five, three of them were all about Jamie Oliver's. One of the article titles included weighing in on Jamie Oliver's food revolution from MamaPop.com. Another one is from the BBC News. Is a new food revolution coming? And Marion Nestle, food educator at NYU, her blog posts, Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, yes, were the top retweeted food links of the day or of the week. Thought I would read out a few of the Twitter and Facebook comments and some of the things, commentary I saw on Friday night. I feel like a complete food geek. I was at home on a Friday night and spent 2 hours watching the preview show and the actual debut. And there were hundreds of people on Facebook talking about this. So here are some of the comments that I plucked from social media sites. One person commented, said, "I was absolutely shocked for the 2 hours watching that show. I could not believe that 5 and 6 year old kids didn't even know what a tomato or potato was. Thanks, however, to the teachers for the hard work in rectifying the situation." There is a very funny, not funny, kind of sad scene where Jamie Oliver goes into one of the classrooms and he's holding up all these different fruits and vegetables. And some of the kids could not identify the fruits and vegetables. I can understand like the eggplant. Maybe kids haven't seen eggplants, but he was holding up tomatoes and potatoes and they had no clue. They could not call out the stuff. And then when he pulled out the pizza and the chicken nuggets and french fries, of course, they were really excited and they were able to identify those items. Another comment included, they said, quote, "Poor Jamie, he has his work cut out for him. He will need every ounce of courage and strength to combat the status quo food mentality in the country." Another quote, "I've seen those, quote, brown meals in our schools, chicken nuggets, fries, and butterscotch pudding. Thank you, Jamie, for starting this revolution. Hope your show gets a better family time slot set so that more people see it." So it's kind of funny that a lot of people were, it's not funny, it's very encouraging that people were 110% behind this show being on the air. I do think that it's a very funny time slot, Friday night. I don't know how many Friday nights I'm going to be in the house watching it, but I do know that the first episodes are on Hulu. And you can see the full episodes on Hulu and as well as ABC.com. One of the very interesting comments that I have included race. Someone actually sent me a message via my Twitter mailbox saying, "I'm glad that this did not show students or children of color or families of color." I'm like, interesting point. I think a lot of people sometimes associate food deserts and lack of food education and food knowledge to be a very black or brown issue. So one person actually sent me a direct message saying they were glad that they started in kind of the middle of the road community, which I think they were rated. I don't know how they rated them the most unhealthiest community or town in the country. That's very interesting. Jamie Oliver, another one of the comments that I got from one of my personal mailbox included how the show was very dramatic in terms of a reality show. There was one point that was really funny when one of the families, he's working with the school as well as a family, he actually buried their deep fryer. And I'm like, okay, this is very dramatic, very reality show-ish type antics. But hey, people are listening, they're watching. So if you have a chance, definitely go on Hulu. Check out episode one. I think there's going to be a package of like six episodes coming on every Friday. Again, Ryan Seacrest is the producer. Ryan Seacrest is the host of American Idol. He also has a production company with a slew of reality shows. And he said he actually was inspired because he was a fat kid growing up. I think it's a smart move for him to bring this to mainstream. Some people were like totally disgusted. They're like, why? What does Ryan Seacrest have to do with the good food movement? But I say, hey, it's all good. So anyway, just wanted to spread the word about Jamie Oliver's food revolution. If you have any comments, feel free to go on heritageradionetwork.com. Click on Hot Grease. We have a comment link there where you can comment on the show, or you can go to foodcultures.com. We'll be back in a sec with the Hot Five, actually, with Stacy West.
Raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, carnival, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, carnival, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. Let the music play on, play on. Feel it in your heart and feel it in your soul. Let the music take control. We're going to party, climbing, fiesta, forever.
Come on and sing. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Our favorite expert on all things practical, beautiful, and stylish for life at the kitchen table and beyond is back on the scene. Stacy West, welcome back to Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me again.
Stacy, since we only have a few days left in March, you're going to be hitting us with Women in Food Hot Five.
Okay. And, you know, I'm so excited to be here on the culmination of National Women's History Month and as well National Nutrition Month.
Oh, so how did I not know that it was National Nutrition Month? Maybe I did know that.
March.
Okay,
great month for women and food.
So and, hit us with number five. With are you doing five women in food?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great.
I am. I want to start with number five. You know, I had to put on the list, and this can all go under number five, mother, grandmother, aunt, someone in the community, a woman in the community we've all known, grown up with, who may not have been a chef, but in her home, food was important, and food was a way for her to show her love for her children, grandkids, her family. So I think I wanted mom, aunt, grandmother on the list of women in food because that's where home is where, you know, we learn about food. And we may not have the best food, but the intention is this is how I'm showing love. We want you to be healthy. So that's number five.
That's perfect. I mean, I think that is a perfect list of people to add to the list. Number four on Women History Month edition.
Number four. I had to put also our First Lady, Michelle Obama.
Totally. We love her.
We love Michelle Obama. And again, you know, with March being Women's History Month and National Nutrition Month, I had to put her on the air because the approval and passage of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act that was just passed on the 24th of this month. And, of course, that is something that Mrs. Obama has been working towards, you know, to improve the school nutrition programs and also in an effort to help combat childhood obesity. And I think it is a great step in the right direction. You know, there have been so many people, you know, who this is very near and dear to their hearts, you know, our children, and the foods that they are served and the quality of the food that they're served in school. So kudos for that, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act 2010.
So number three on the Hot Five, Women's History Month, Nutrition Month edition.
Mm-hmm. Someone else who's very into schools and food, someone that, you know, maybe a lot of us are not aware of, is Alice Waters.
Well, of course, we love Alice Waters.
Okay.
Here at Heritage Radio Network.
Yes, and she, Alice Waters, is chef and author, but she founded the Edible Schoolyard. And the Edible Schoolyard is a one-acre organic gardening kitchen classroom for urban public school students at Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School in Berkeley, California. And I think that is just such a wonderful thing that she has done and started with the Edible Schoolyard, because the teachers and the Edible Schoolyard educators there are working in conjunction with one another to integrate the food systems into just the core curriculum of the school and showing the students how nature, you know, sustains the world and promotes, you know, the environment and our well-being.
Yeah, we have to definitely give a shout out to Alice Waters. Two things. We have a rooftop garden here at Heritage Radio Network, and she actually, Edible Schoolyards, if I'm not mistaken, provided the seed money for our rooftop garden here. And I think she has a new book that's coming out too. I can't remember the title, but it's coming out either next month, a fairly new book. So definitely she is the epitome of women in food and doing positive things. Number
Absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely. Number two on the list is Christetta Comerford.
Mm.
Yes.
So great, tell our listeners who that is.
Christetta Comerford is the first woman and first minority to serve as executive chef at the White House.
Love it.
Yes. So, again, kudos to her for that wonderful, wonderful accomplishment. And she was just appointed in 2005. So that is, you know, all of the presidents. I mean, here we are on our 44th president. And it was not until 2005 that a woman was appointed executive chef.
Yeah, so she was with George W., huh?
But that is exactly right. She was appointed first by Laura Bush, our first lady, Laura Bush.
That's very cool. So, number one.
Yes.
On the Hot Five with Stacey West.
Yes. Someone else that, you know, may not be a household name when it comes to food is Melinda Russell. Now, I like mixing the old with the new, up and coming, unheard of, whatever. But Melinda Russell, and we go all the way back to 1866 with Mrs. Melinda Russell. And in 1866, Melinda Russell wrote a cookbook called A Domestic Cookbook, which contained a careful selection of useful recipes for the kitchen. And actually, she is thought to be the first African American to actually write a cookbook.
Mm, okay.
Yes. And back in that time, Ms. Russell, being from Tennessee, being from the South, very, very progressive woman for her time. She was not born into slavery. She never cooked at a plantation. Very, you know, from what I've read about her, had a very spunky personality, loved sweets and pastries, and even in her lifetime, owns a pastry shop.
Oh, wow.
Which is an accomplishment, again, another great accomplishment in itself for a woman during her time.
I wonder, are there any copies? Do you know if there have been reprints of the cookbook?
Cause no.
I know that there's another cookbook, Mrs. Fisher, 1881. It's one of the first Black or African-American cookbooks, and that book is very hard to find. So is it the same for, is it Melinda Russell?
Melinda Russell. It is the same. Very, very, very difficult to find a copy of her cookbook, a domestic cookbook.
Wow, yeah, but, that's very interesting. You definitely provided five people that some people probably may have known. I definitely did not know Melinda Russell. And some people that we need to be reminded of in terms of women and food. And there's so many other women that, I mean, your very first person, number five, people, set of people. Those are the people that are unknown, but there are hundreds and hundreds of other people who are definitely shaping the food world and the food revolution here in the United States. So, Ms. West, thank you so much for always coming on the show and providing us with all the stylish and unique and what else did I say? Beautiful and practical things for the kitchen table and beyond. And we look forward to having you again, and have a great Easter.
Thank you. Same to you.
And we'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, definitely.
So presently I'm standing here right now, you're so demanding. Tell me what you want from me. Concluding, concentrating on my music lover and my babies. Baby, wanna ask you later for a ticket out of town.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. You were just listening to the sounds of Miss Erykah Badu, Window Seat, talking to women and being fearless. That was Miss Badu. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Edwards of Surrey, Virginia. The Edwards family has joined Heritage Foods USA and Newman Berkshire Farm to develop a new product line of different hams and sausages. For more information about Edwards & Son, visit edwardsvaham.com. Let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. In honor of Passover and Easter, what better time to share on air our traditions around the kitchen table? So I asked some of my previous guests and friends of Hot Grease about their holiday memories. I got tons of them, and I thought that I would share them with you and wish all my listeners a great Passover and Easter Sunday. So I'm going to first share with one of our comments from Allison Cave. She was on the show last week talking about first prize pies. Her comment was, my Uncle Bernie grinds the horseradish every year by hand, and every year we wind up with some poor Seder newbie who gets a very spicy surprise in his or her food. Very funny. So she put that down as one of her traditions, one of her Passover traditions, her Uncle Barney making horseradish. That's very funny, Allison, if you're listening. Another one of our guests, previous guests who've been on the show before, back in 2009, Adriana Velez, Her comments were, for the past few years, we've been invited to some friends, artists, Seder. But when they divorced. So last year, even though we're both not even remotely Jewish, we held our own little family dinner. And it makes a very nice springtime ritual. So Adriana, darling, we are sharing that. I hope you and your family have a great Passover. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
I've been enjoying the show. I want to know, there was this great article in the New York Times about their lack of slaughterhouses, and I want to know, what is Jamie Oliver's situation going to do to actually concretely get supplies going versus just, you know, saying, hey, we should eat better, but then actually not doing anything about it?
Very good question about the slaughterhouses and Jamie Oliver's food revolution. Personally, I think, and this is my opinion, I don't think he is going to touch that topic at all. I think his show is going to stay very mainstream and just talking about the bad or horrible food in the school system and in families in West Virginia. I think West Virginia, with all of the big ag manufacturing of food there, it would be a great place to start and talk about the slaughterhouse issue. But we won't see it on Food Revolution. I think it's up to either small food shows that are online, or people need to develop shows or some media content to talk about that. But I definitely don't think we'll see it on Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution.
Well, then I'll put it down in the category of a bunch of other crap that doesn't matter.
Well, that definitely, I would have to agree that that was a comment from a lot of people who are really, really serious advocates about the food revolution, that Jamie Oliver's show is not going to make a huge difference in changing the entire food system. So that is a valid point. And thank you for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Bye. We love live callers, particularly if it's challenging some of the things that we're talking about on Hot Grease. So back to Passover and Easter traditions. One of our last comments, someone just wrote monkey bread. So I will assume that every year they make monkey bread. And another one, very funny one to laugh at before we leave. Camille Hart, one of friends from Atlanta, wrote, a few years ago, one of the boys at the place I volunteered told me that they throw eggs at passing cars for Easter. I'm positive he was lying, but that is what he told me when I asked him about his Easter celebration. Very funny. I hope no one will throw eggs this year, but I definitely wish you guys a happy spring and happy Easter and Passover. Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.